Now, as many of you know, I'm from Canada, and I spent most of my graduate studies in Toronto. And I finished my divinity degree studying as a chaplain. And I worked at an inner city Catholic hospital. And my ward was emergency and the morgue. That's where I worked. So I got to know a lot of people very well, including all the homeless people that made emergency their first place for medical care. And one of our homeless regulars, Nick, was someone that I got quite close to. And he came in for everything. And usually he was pretty mentally stable. It was just his poverty that brought him to emergency for his care. Well, one afternoon, Nick came in, and he was in bad shape. And I don't know what happened to him, but he was convinced that in the next few minutes, the second coming of Christ was going to happen. And it was happening right there and right then. And according to his words, angels were fighting over us. Swords of justice were slicing through the air, and flames of hell were lapping through the grills in the floor. Jesus was coming, and he had come to us to make sure that we were on the right side of God's judgment. So the staff did what they often did in situations like this. They called the chaplain. So it would be an understatement to say that Nick scared the living daylights out of me. I was a student. I had never experienced anything like this before, except for the ministers who preached at us from street corners, and I usually crossed to the other side of the street when I saw that. So I didn't have a clue what to do. And truth be told, Unitarian Universalists aren't into the second coming. We don't. Our universalist heritage assures us that we are saved from the time we are born. Not only that, but the Unitarian Universalist Church I went to went to great lengths to explicitly avoid Christian language. And I quickly learned through verbal and not verbal cues that I received that it was anti-Unitarian Universalist to use that kind of language. So I left Nick and went to my supervisor and told him there was not a thing I could do for Nick because I was Unitarian Universalist and that he needed to send someone else to help Nick through this crisis. Well, he looked at me and he said, "Krista, have you ever been paralyzed with fear?" "Yes." "Have you ever felt completely helpless?" "Yes." "Have you ever felt like the stakes were so high that you didn't know which way to turn?" "Yes." "Then you get back down there and you go be with Nick and you work it out because this is what you're here for." So I went back. By this time, they had restrained him in one of those padded rooms, and he was shaking and spewing out all this venom. "Are you afraid, Nick?" "Yes." "Are you feeling helpless, Nick?" "Yes." "I felt those things too." "Are you afraid you're going to hell, Nick?" "Yes." And he broke into tears. "Those are pretty high stakes, Nick." And we started to talk. And it still wasn't easy. I mean, I still was not at all comfortable with the language of devils and demons and swords of judgment. But I had to use Nick's language so that we could connect. I had to move into his universe. And one of the things I learned at that time is that your faith is only as strong as you are able to leave it for a while and go into someone else's universe. If your faith is so weak that you can't leave it behind, then it's not worth much. Progressive theologian Alfred Whitehead says that one of the greatest errors of religion is the practice of misplaced concreteness, of assuming that words mean only one thing. Words like God, salvation, redemption, judgment, sin, Christ. All these words have been abused, misused, and killed using misplaced concreteness. But if you see those words as slippery little devils, to use the term coined by Reverend Laurel Hallman, they are always dancing, always holding a promise of untapped potential. And when you reach towards them, all kinds of creative things become possible. Like many Unitarian Universalists, I have often defined myself in opposition to Christianity. I made the error of misplaced concreteness, assuming that there was only one way to look at the language of the religion I had left. It's sometimes addictively easy for religious progressives to criticize churches and people who have taken religious language and tried to make it mean only one thing. Then we become as judgmental as we say they are. In fact, for many years, Christian language was more or less purged from Unitarian Universalism, and those Unitarian Universalists who are Christian were forced underground despite our claim to inclusivity. There are some compelling reasons for why this happened. I don't think we can underestimate the spiritual damage that has been done by forms of Christianity wedded to this misplaced concreteness. I'm one of those victims. In so many ways, Unitarian Universalism has become a healing ministry for those damaged by other religions, and will continue to be that. But I wonder if our religion is defined only in relation to that damage, then who are we? We've actually allowed someone else to define for us who we are. Are we as a religion standing before Nick, feeling ineffectual, and more than a tad bit judgmental and helpless? This is the thing. Words don't stand still. They never have. Many of those traditional words, when you go back to their Hebrew roots, don't mean at all what they mean in Christianity. And in fact, they don't even mean the same things in different forms of Christianity. If you went to a Baptist church, a Southern Baptist church, and a Progressive Episcopalian church, same language, different universe, right? Back in August, I started a monthly prayer service at Emerson Chapel, and a woman emailed me and thanked me for bringing prayer into the church. "I pray," she said, "especially when things are hard. Don't tell anyone, though." Why should she be so afraid of people knowing she prays? What in our Unitarian Universalist culture is suppressing her religious expression? Another told me, "I have a rich personal life. I've just come to accept I can't bring that to my Unitarian Universalist church." How did this come to be? What kind of dogma or creed is lurking under the surface of Unitarian Universalism, silencing the spiritual richness that exists in our people? We are supposed to be a creedless religion, but sometimes we don't act that way. Now, I'm not saying we should go back to being Christian. I don't think that's possible. Nor am I discounting the very real hurt that some of you are carrying. But we need to think about what it means to embrace diversity. We need not to just say it. Unless we really commit to living our diversity and acceptance, our churches will fall short in meeting the real spiritual hungers of those who come here in search of a deep, sustaining connection to something that is greater than they are. So you know what I wonder? I wonder if there's a way for us to lighten up. Not to take ourselves so seriously. We are not the center of the universe. There are so many places in life where we have to hold back. Do we really need that from our church? Part of what makes the conversation about traditional language so hard is that we feel the stakes are so high. So there are metaphorical angels of judgment flashing their swords around here, right? Like, if we don't get our words exactly right, or if we don't know exactly what someone means with a particular word, we get so afraid we'll get all trapped again, pulled into something that isn't us. Well, what about the radical idea enshrined in our liberal religious tradition of trusting each other? What about cutting each other some slack? One of the foundational principles of Unitarian Universalism is that we are in sacred covenant with each other. We do not have a creed or code. What we have is a covenant of sacred promises that we make to each other. The statement of principles and purposes, which you find in the front of our gray hymnals, is a covenant. Most Unitarian Universalist churches have a covenant that includes something like fostering free religious thought, nurturing spiritual growth, acting for social justice. This is our covenant. When you decide to be a member of a Unitarian Universalist congregation, you enter that sacred covenant and become its bearer and its witness. An essential part of any covenant is trust. Because we affirm and promote the inherent dignity and worth of every person, because our theology affirms that we are made in the image of a loving, forgiving, trusting God, make that mean whatever you need it to, we are called to the radical practice of trust and love and forgiveness over and over and over again. So we have to trust in each other's good intentions, or we will put each other, not just the language we use, into prisons of concrete. And that's certainly not at all what Unitarian Universalism stands for. So, what would it look like to play with religious language? All those words that make us go, you know, when we hear them. What would it be like to play with that? Most of you are never going to be a chaplain, wandering through the halls of a hospital with the possibility of a nick around every corner. But you do have neighbors and friends with religious beliefs that are different from yours. And your children play with children from families who go to churches with very different beliefs. You will all have the opportunity to engage people who comfortably use more traditional theological language. And if we want to be able to connect with that interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part, it would be good to know what that theological language means in Unitarian Universalism. Because it is part of our heritage, it is also our language, and we can take it back. Many years ago, I did improvisational comedy. I worked with a troupe. We did it every weekend. And I tell you, it taught me more about preaching than any class ever could. The most important rule in improvisational comedy is to greet everything with a yes. The fun is always on the other side of a yes. So let me give you an example. Say you're on stage and your partner says to you, "Man, you look rough. What happened to you?" If you say, "Oh, nothing, I'm fine," you just blocked that person's offer with a big no. But if you say, "My daughter ran off to the circus and I could kill the guy she ran off with," you've said yes to the offer and you've now got this great scene in front of you. Every time you have the opportunity to speak to someone about your faith, you're on an improv stage. And you have the opportunity to say yes or no. It's that simple. So, say you're talking to a neighbor and they ask you, "Do Unitarian Universalists believe in the Bible?" How many of you got that question asked of you before? Anybody here had that faced that question? Pretty loaded question, right? And pretty easy to say no. No, we don't believe in the Bible. Well, that is true if you're in a world of misplaced concreteness, of assuming that believing in the Bible can mean only one thing, that it is the infinite, infallible word directly received to us from God. But let's try saying yes. How could you say yes to this, scary as it might be? Do you believe in the Bible? Well, yes, the Bible is an incredible book written by some seriously wise people trying to explain the mysteries of life as they understood it, given what they knew of the world. Whole different energy. The first answer closed doors. The second answer opens them while being theologically consistent with who we are. Yes, we believe in the Bible, and this is the Bible we believe in. You've changed the conversation. You've taken what's been offered and made it your own, and then offered it back. Now they're in the hot seat, not you. Let's try another one. Does your church believe in Jesus? How many of you have gotten that question? Does your church believe in Jesus? Another loaded question. No, we don't believe in Jesus. Well, of course we don't, if there's only one way to believe in Jesus. But then we're falling into that prison of concrete and losing a chance to really connect with another human being who has asked a really good question from within their religious universe, someone who's trying to understand you. So how can you have fun with this question? Let's start again. Does your church believe in Jesus? Well, of course. He had this message that was so radical that almost no one has been able to follow it. Now that, you've taken what's offered, made it yours, not once compromising who you are as a Unitarian Universalist. Do you believe in salvation? That's a big one. Easy to block. But I have a really neat answer for that one. Yes, I believe in salvation. In my Unitarian Universalist faith, I have been saved from a meaningless life where I am freed from the fear that was instilled by me by my childhood religion. I am free, I am saved, I know what matters, and I will sacrifice what I need to so I can serve the values I hold dear. So you better believe I've been saved. Now, there are some among us, perhaps you are one, who fears that if we use traditional religious language, we're going to compromise who we are. We're going to become like those churches many of us left. And this would be true if the traditional language meant the same thing it meant in the churches you left. This would be true if Unitarian Universalism ever turned away from its foundation of prizing every person as having inherent worth and dignity. Honestly, it comes down to trust. Do we trust one another? We will never get it perfect, but we will always move forward if we're willing to move together and walk into places we might not have walked on our own, probably wouldn't have walked on our own, and to forgive ourselves and each other if it doesn't work out as planned, which it usually doesn't. This is what it means to grow spiritually. Whether we're dealing with theological language, or a pledge drive, or a budget, or policy decisions, whether we're making difficult decisions at a board meeting or sitting across the breakfast table from a loved one. It's about the willingness to trust in each other's good intentions. Without that, nothing we do will amount to much. There is no script in life. You just have to get on stage and be ready to work with whatever comes, to say yes to whatever comes your way. And with enough love and honesty, and with just the right amount of playfulness, we'll get to where we're supposed to go. Promise. Amen and blessed be.